You're listening to the Kansas Blotter Audio Podcast, poetry, fiction, and nonfiction recorded in the Lawrence, Kansas, and Topeka, Kansas area.
I have three poems I'm going to read, and I brought a few other things to read as well. I think I should probably start with a small confession, though. I've gone to poetry readings for, I counted up today, like 25 years. I've gone to poetry readings for 25 years now, and thank you. I was like 10 when I started. One thing I've always loved from the time I was a little kid is I'm really impressed by this, is when poets are able to have sort of anecdotes in between their work, or little things that they'll introduce their poems with. I am horrible at this. But this week I was like, all right, this is the week. You know, it's been 25 years. You're going to come up with some decent things to say. So I ended up coming up with a bunch of them. I have three poems, and I have like more anecdotes than I do, you know, for poems. So I don't really even know what you would consider these things, like flash nonfiction pieces. I have no idea. But one thing I appreciate about those little introductory notes is I feel like I learn a little bit about the poet or about their process. So I tried to come up with stuff like that. So for tonight, I have three poems. All three are from this round of the workshop, produced in the workshop, and a bunch of anecdotes. And so I'm going to ask people to pick one, and I'll read whichever one you pick at random. So anybody, who wants to pick one for the first poem? Okay. Okay, I'll read this is my introductory anecdote. And these are kind of silly, so I apologize. Some of them are. This one's silly, okay. One time when I was 22, my friend Mike Fairchild and I became so intoxicated that we found ourselves walking along a set of railroad tracks, unsure of which way the town of Pullman, Washington was, where we were staying. "What if we are going the wrong direction?" Mike asked me. "You look like a young Ewan McGregor," I said. "That doesn't help us," he replied. "Yes, it does," I said. "We will meet someone in the new town who wants to sleep with you, and then we will stay at his or her house." The first poem I'm going to read is called Melody in Empty Space, and I think this kind of spawned out of the same exercise that Catherine mentioned for her poem. So, Melody in Empty Space. Our teacher sang show tunes and wept. She pushed silence past margin, the border we grew to skirt, left it to flower a swollen month. Her partner's untold migration from hospice to plot. "Write whatever, whatever," she said. "Why not take all of me?" A chorus. I asked what a word was, from the glossary, the index, to stop melody from filling empty space. Another period full of lyrics, accidents. Who wants to pick the second anecdote? Loretta, would you pick one? All right. This is the second anecdote. This is by far the longest one, but it's still pretty short. I dropped out of college when I was 19 because I was broke, and then after a year of working, started at a new school, Washington State University, where I lived in the French language house. Most of my friends and colleagues in Kansas don't know this. Oh, this is like a secret one, right? Most of my friends and colleagues in Kansas don't know this. Which really amuses my wife, who's here and who does know this. Until I was 23 years old and moved to Manhattan, Kansas for graduate school for the first time, I was a punk, complete with pink mohawk, leather jacket, bondage belt with harness rings that jingled, which I wore every day, and knee-high military jump boots with steel toes. This is how I was when I moved into the French language house in Washington. My best friend in those years was a 67-year-old French professor named Joseph Lebas, who had majored in existential studies at the Sorbonne in Paris in the 1960s. The first time he met me, he only addressed me in French, and I only responded to him in French. He said, bon, tu es un anarchiste. C'est bon d'être anarchiste. Est-ce que tu connais la maison française? Meaning, good, you are an anarchist. It is good to be an anarchist. Do you know about the French house? I had forgotten to unenroll from a course on French cinema that Joseph taught one semester, and during finals week, he called me at the French house. He said, in French, did you forget about the French cinema class? I said I had, and was genuinely sorry. It's okay, he told me. You are a poet. You will learn it later. I trust you. Thank you, I said. Look, he told me, I am getting out of here. Don't get mad at me. This place, the university, is full of dead people. I understand, I said. In the following fall semester, I learned that Joseph had given me an A in the French cinema course. I also learned that during the first week of classes, after students complained that Professor Labat hadn't shown up to teach their class, the head of the French department went down to Joseph's office to find that after 30 years of teaching at the university, he had emptied everything from his office, leaving only a post-it note on the door, which said, I quit, in French. Joseph is dead now, and I miss him. And this poem is also from the workshop. It's called Food Cart in Winter in Northern Idaho. On Main and Third, I sit huddled by a propane tank. Magpies eat their dead, pressed into asphalt by passing cars. I am the only one on the street for the small beginning of rain. 4,000 years of cedar in a grove on the mountain dodge the crosscut saw, the choker, because we're bored down here, because demand and a grapple skitter take their own sweet time. Last anecdote. Anybody want to pick it? Tim, will you pick it? Okay. Oh, okay. This is the last anecdote. My father and I, like many fathers and sons, didn't... Oh, you're going to like this, Tim. It's weird that you picked this one. My father and I, like many fathers and sons, didn't get along for many years. When I was 25, however, we were together at Thanksgiving, and I asked him, have you ever seen anybody get stabbed? I can't remember how this came up. He told me that when he was 15, he was working in the summers picking fruit in central Washington. He was the only white person in the bunkhouse with the migrant workers and by far the youngest of all the workers. He woke up in the middle of the night and two workers were fighting each other with knives, and he saw one of them get stabbed. He said he couldn't figure out for a moment what was happening because he was still sleepy. He thought the handle of the knife had somehow grown out of the man's stomach. That's weird, I said. I saw two men in a fight under that overpass on Division once, and one of them stabbed the other, and I couldn't figure out where the handle sticking out from his chest had come from either. They were already fighting when I walked past them. Weird, he said. Wait a minute, when was this? Didn't you have a curfew? And this is my last poem, and you guys haven't heard it yet. This is from the last exercise I got to do that that Leah gave us, on the one with the animals. And I originally had a really unwilling epigraph, which was a warning to our fearless leader, Leah Sewell, upon her first year entering an MFA program. But it's just too much. So the title of it is, there's no more epigraph except for tonight. The title of it is A Troop of Possums. A Troop of Possums. I saw the first one on the broken white strip dissecting my street, just lying there, a piece of cordwood, if not for fur, the small hands, nose tapered almost to snout. He was only playing at the uncanny, he said, at being, at nothingness. The possums took me in for a season, a dozen, and now my response is their response to everything. A woman searches through her skirt, my clothes, her body, my lips, for places to strike, a match pinched between thumb and forefinger. I become stump, stripe in the road, still as an iron railing. Books are worse, whose edges used to curl, to smolder the moment I touch them. Now, the soft pads of my fingers, clumsy, ball into a fist to stifle yawns. Years of performance that looks like sleep, become sleep, become ambergris, an ether, anathema. Watch out for possums.